All right, welcome in. It's playoff time here for your Los Angeles Kings Game 1 pregame show with your friend Joe Paterino and Rando Commando here. We're going to be talking about the keys to the game, and this podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings, the chase is on for the Stanley Cup, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of the playoff beards all the way to hoisting the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds, and so much more. Right now, Oilers are your favorite for tonight's game with a negative 175. Kings are plus 145 with the money line. So get your bets in here at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now. Use code THPN, bet $5, and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and hopefully for the Kings, this game is ours. Joe, what's going on?
Just watching some playoff hockey, just getting me primed and ready for what we've been waiting for. It seems like an eternity now for game one for the Kings with everybody else playing. This is Boston's game two here. So I'm fired up. How about you, Randon?
I'm doing good. I mean, my bet made on the last podcast isn't looking too good. I didn't know that the Leafs haven't beat the Bruins since the dawn of time. So that's looking rather shaky there, but doing well. And then the chat seems to be going here. Jordan Alexander, hello, go Kings go. We got a CJ, let's do this, go Kings go. A little woo from Arby. Nav coming in here with a sup, boys. Holden coming here, what's up, guys? Playoff time, let's go. McDavid is 1-8 lifetime in game ones. Well, hopefully we keep that streak going. Jacob A, time to flip the script. So we're kind of coming here. We're going to be talking keys to the game, what we need to think the Kings need to do to come in and set the pace. So, Joe, obviously, the way we played the Oilers this year, 1-2-1, they've dictated a lot of the pace. You know, they got the star players up front, but the Kings are finally healthy. What do the Kings need to do to set the table here in period one of game one?
They've got to go with their bread and butter, right? Their bread and butter is the defensive side of the game. Especially figure in Edmonton, this place is going to be absolutely rocking. I expect Edmonton to come out flying. So I figure if LA is able to kind of weather the storm here for the first 5-10 minutes, I know it's a little cliche, but I do think that matters. You don't want Edmonton to start putting anything in too early and getting going quickly. But their bread and butter, LA's, is their defensive zone, not allowing high danger chances, not allowing plays to the slot. Like, that's just how they have played. That's how they are going to have to play this game, particularly in this first period, right? Try to get if you're a Kings fan, you want a boring first period. That is exactly what you want. You want a dull, boring, you want the announcers talking about how boring the game is, because that means Edmonton isn't able to do what they're great at. So if you're able to do that, I think that is how LA can keep this one tight and give themselves a chance to win game one.
Yeah, I mean, just to use a little analogy here, I think, you know, if two fighters squaring up in the octagon, you know, I think the Kings need to work the jab, need to find the distance, need to see what the team's going on, weather the storm, because I believe Edmonton is going to come out and throw some punches early. Kings can't take an early penalty, not give them too much time off the ice, keep this 5-on-5, and then work that counterpunch. I would like to see a little bit of offense in the second half, the first period for the Kings, weather the storm a little bit, get that jab working, and then maybe throw some cross hooks and stuff like that. And if they do take a stupid penalty, meaning the Oilers, I think the Kings need to capitalize on that first power play. I think will be huge for the momentum of this team. And then to take the air out of Edmonton, right? You want to take the crowd out of it early. If you can, and not give them any, you know, penalties to scream for, power plays to scream for, those types of things. I think, yeah, boring first period would be nice, but I would like to see a little counter shots in the back half of the 10 minutes of the 20 minutes.
Absolutely. Listen, if you're able to get through that and it's not a situation where Edmonton is just flooding the net, or even at least flooding shot attempts at the net, that's a win. Like, then the Kings can kind of maybe settle into their game a little bit and then look to maybe go to the offensive. But again, they have, it is what it is with how they play, but that is what's going to make them successful. That's their best chance, is to try to find a way to slow Edmonton down as much as possible. And I'll say too, I'm not worried about this, because like the obviously the goaltending for LA has been fine. So this is not something I'm concerned about, but you just, the last thing this team needs, the last thing this series needs is like a soft one to go in that first 5-10 minutes. Right. So just making sure that Talbot is making the saves he's got to make. Right. Again, I know that is kind of a well done, goes without saying, but again, when you're on the road, you just don't want to give that home ice and the crowd and a team like Edmonton any more to go off of. Holy cow, what a save by Samsonov.
Somehow, sometimes the obvious needs to be spoken, though.
Yes. You know?
And those types of plays have been like the, oh my gosh, king moments. Like, okay, we're playing this defensive style, and then you let a weak one go in, and now you know, you have to rely on the team to be something that they're not as of late. So, you know, I think that you're 100% right there. You don't want to let a team, you know, get a weak one in, get the crowd behind them, and then you're playing from behind. And as a counterpunch, you're playing from behind. It's not something that, you know, necessarily is a bad thing, because, you know, once Edmonton starts opening it up, but you don't want to play from behind ever in a game of any sport and rely on the counterpunch.
And just to piggyback off that a little bit, obviously the Kings aren't exactly built to chase games. Right. They're not a team that is built to come from behind, because they're not a team that's going to outscore a lot of teams. So their goal is to try to play with the lead. That's where they're at their best. And if they're able to keep this game, the longer this stays, like in one of those, if it's a one goal game type of thing, then the Kings are in it. And I think that's what you that's all you can ask for. And that's the hope here in game one.
All right. And so what would be a key to the game for you, for the Kings? Obviously you said this first period, but overall in the game, what kind of a key would you say would be the best, you know, for them on the road here?
So I would love to see, and it's tough from a matchup standpoint because they are on the road. And Edmonton's going to have the last change, but I, you know, try to take advantage of that Nurse and CC combo. I think the top pair in Edmonton is excellent. I think the third pair, D pair in Edmonton, is underrated. I think it's pretty good. But Nurse and CC, if you've got, and we're, so I, the lines have not been confirmed yet. I know we'll talk about that, but the teams are on the ice for warm up. Zach Dooley has tweeted out that Talbot and Skinner have led the teams up, but I haven't seen the line rushes confirmed yet. But, and as I say that, here comes the line rushes from Dooley. It's Kopitar between Laferriere and Kempe, Denomor, Arvidsson, Lazat, Fiala, Lewis, Dubois, Grunstrom, and Byfield. So if you are able to get, say, that the Deneau line or the Dubois line out against the CC Nurse pairing, like that's where I'm trying to exploit. So if they're able to, in those moments, exploit that pair, because I do think that's their weaker pair, frankly, of the three, is that middle pair of Nurse and CC, in large part because I don't think Cody CC is a very good defenseman. So if they're able to, and we talk about the wingers, we talk about scoring off the rush, those lines I mentioned, you know, your Trevor Moores, your Byfield, Grunstrom can shoot it. We talked about him on the last show. I think his return to the lineup is big for the Kings, because he's a guy that can score from distance on the rush. So
that's a big line. I mean, he's a big boy. You got PLD and Byfield. That's a girthy line right there, as far as, you know, throwing some weight around. Grunstrom led the team in hits before England. You're looking at PLD has played a little bit more physically out of late. Byfield's physicalness is up on the boards. And so that line can dictate a lot of pressure with that size.
No question. You know, and I think that can be the type of line that Kings fans have been kind of clamoring for in the playoffs lately, is that big-bodied, physical, power forward type of line with all three of those. That has a lot of potential. Especially,
and let's not forget that Fiala could get switched to that line in the second and third. If they need to get awesome offense moving, they could flip that up and let Fiala run with Pierre-Luc.
Yeah, it's a little weird, Randon, and I have been pretty down on this Kings team, at least especially in terms of, like, against Edmonton. I predicted Edmonton in five. I think Edmonton is just a better team top to bottom. But I have this odd kind of confidence right now before game one. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know what you're feeling, but I don't know. I kind of feel like that there could be something here that the Kings can take game one. I mean, shoot, they've done it each of the last 2 years. But yeah, I mean, I think they, if they can take advantage of the right matchups and the, and again, that second pair, I'm not a fan of, and I think that's going to be an opportunity for the Kings.
Yeah, it's going to be huge for the team there. Let's get into the second line, and I know Arvidsson is back. You know, had some injuries multiple years, but and then obviously Moore with the 30 goals. That's going to be a huge line for them there. And then the spotlight's going to be on Laferriere on that top line. Rookie gets a lot of pressure playing with the big boys there. So we'll see how he goes with that. How do you like the top six?
I like it. You know, I've been pretty high on Laferriere's game this year. I mean, I've said that I kind of liked his duo, his kind of combo that he had with Dubois. I like the way they've played together. I know Laferriere's numbers have not translated into actual production, not totally unlike Pierre-Luc Dubois is some of the stuff that they're doing. So that said, I think he brings a decent element to that line. And I think clearly what we're trying to see, what Hiller, you're trying to see him do is spread things out here, right? With offensive threats on all four lines. I think he's really trying to spread this out. I think he understands that depth is going to be, you know, important in this series. It's what the Kings are built on. And that's what the whole point of the roster build that Rob Blake has put together, at least from a forward standpoint, has been depth. So that's what he's going for. So I like it. I'm comfortable with Laferriere there. So, and obviously the Danault line has been, again, really good. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be up to I think that Danault line to do a lot of things today. Hopefully they're not, you know, matched up with the top line all the time to where they're, you know, hemmed in the zone and they can actually spring a little bit offensively for Arvidsson and Moore, but they are also your multifaceted line. They can do a little bit of everything. And then, you know, you kind of have them locked down. I think you're looking at Hiller's like, okay, we got to go at waves with them. We got to be deep and run it. And then you almost definitely could probably see that bench shorten up and I maybe see Fiala go on with PLD and Byfield and almost eliminate that fourth line altogether, or that Lewis Lizotte line. But you know, who knows? Maybe that Fiala line is going to be buzzing with them. It's kind of an interesting line because Lewis doesn't really bring much offensively. Lizotte's very much you know, a puck hounder, and then you have the play driver and Fiala. So I wonder how that line's going to kind of pan out tonight and how they're going to be used in that facet.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Lizotte. Going back to the Lizotte Fiala thing, we saw that last year, right? When the Kings really didn't have a third line center and they were trying to find somebody to play it, and it ended up being Blake Lizotte for a bit. And him, because Blake Lizotte can create plays. Blake Lizotte is an underrated passer. He's an underrated contributor of shot contributions. Like, he's an underrated player. So you get somebody next to him with skill. We've seen Kaliev be productive with him. We've seen Grundstrom be productive with him, you know? So getting Fiala there, they played together last year quite a bit and we're really good together. You know, the difference in the line. So last year it was Fiala, Lizotte in the middle, Velarde on the right side. Not a big surprise as to why that line was so successful. There's quite the drop off from Gabe Velarde to Trevor Lewis when you're talking about a winger next to Lizotte and Fiala. But that said, like the duo of Fiala and Lizotte, I do think can be effective, very effective.
I think the special teams is the next area we should look at here. And last year, the Kings didn't have an excellent penalty kill and were eaten alive by the power play. This year, a little bit different. Obviously, you don't want to let McDavid and Draisaitl have their way. I mean, I think Draisaitl mm-hmm. almost is a 2 point per game player in the playoffs. He's just an absolute animal. But, you know, you feel a little bit more confident there. But what I feel more confident is from the power play. You know, yep. It was almost like, hey, I hope we don't get a power play because it's just wasted time. Because it was just so bad. Where do you feel this power play has matched up this last month? Is there any cause for concern, or you feel fairly confident that the percentage is going to be a lot higher?
For the power play, I feel very good. Yeah, no, I feel good. I mean, I think the Kings, it's looked totally different with Arvidsson back. He's offered a different element, a passing option down low. He's created opportunities for himself to be in the bumper at times, depending on how things kind of flow. But he's really opened some things up with him being an option down low. So I, like you, am fairly confident in the power play, frankly. I think it can be effective. It kind of has to be. You talked about that last episode where it's like you don't know how many chances you're going to get 5-on-5. So when you do score, or when you get an opportunity power play, you got to score. You know, you'd like to see the Kings score like a 30% clip in this series on the power play just to really give themselves a shot. On the other side of it, I just don't care how good the Kings penalty kill is. It has not been that good the last month or two. I shouldn't say that. It's been above average. It hasn't been as good as it was for the rest of the season prior to that. Because I think they've ended the season with the second overall penalty kill in the league. They've played outside the top 10 recently, regardless whether they're second or 15th or whatever. You don't feel good
taking. Yeah, you don't want to take that out. You don't. That's not an opportunity or a situation you want to put yourself in.
Right. It just doesn't matter how good your kill has been throughout the season. You don't feel comfortable against that Edmonton power play. So
I know I won't feel comfortable on the couch. I'll be on the edge of my seat during that when it inevitably happens. Who's let's get to some like players of the game or players that you think feel need to have big games in order to get the momentum started. I'll start with this and. He goes to my shirt, you know, let Kev be Kev. I think he can dominate. You know, he's been on a line that maybe I don't really like. I mean, obviously he plays well with the Zot, but I feel like he could take over a shift and he could take over a power play with him. And it's, you know, he's also going to be the person that might put the team on the penalty kill with something there. And you just got to let him be him. But hopefully we see a lot more positive Kev. And we kind of see a Kev that is that dominant Kev, that cocky Kev, going through with his skating and stuff like that. Cause I feel that the team needs that type of player to kind of maybe take hold at the end of the game. It's tie game, you know, less than 3 minutes, that type of player to where, hey, the puck is on his stick and you feel confident about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think again, going back to who he may be matched up against, right? I mean, if he's out there with, you know, Lizotte and Lewis, he's probably going to be out there against a bottom six line for Edmonton, and at least in practice yesterday. So I have not seen the line rushes for the Oilers yet come through. But the third line was Carrick in between Kane and Janmark. That was the fourth line, excuse me. McLeod between Perry and Holloway in the third line. So no Nugent Hopkins, no Dreisaitl, no Henrique. Obviously Dreisaitl's going to be in the top six. No Henrique. Perhaps there could be something there where you have, again, an opportunity. We've talked about how the depth, you know, the depth has been the strength of the Kings, and it's going to have to be.
And there's two players there, Perry and Kane, who let their frustration show physically. They take bad penalties as well with that type of action. And if you're playing with guys and, you know, you get mixed matched with the Fiala or PLD Byfield line and you take a bad penalty because you're out of position, that's only going to benefit the Kings.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And I see a comment in here from Rude Street Collectibles. Is anyone tracking the amount of penalties called in the playoffs so far if the refs keep the whistles in the pockets? I have not tracked this, but actually, like this particular first round, but it has been tracked that, especially in recent history, penalties in the first couple of games, especially in the first round, are definitely up, like at the very least regular season levels, if not higher. So I think there's this thought that, you know, referees put the whistle away in playoffs. That's just not the case. Now, again, maybe it has been this first round. I haven't noticed that in the games I've watched. There was a handful of penalties in that Boston game. So there's already been a penalty, I think, in this Vegas Dallas game. So yeah, I don't know that that's actually the case, and I certainly would not expect that in Edmonton, LA.
Which is all the more reason for us to capitalize on the power play.
Yeah. And really, like, so Jake McCabe took an incredibly stupid penalty earlier today, a cross check after the whistle behind the net. Like, now's not the time to be quasi tough guy in front of the net after the whistle, because it was a blatant cross check and Boston scored on the power play. That's the stuff the Kings can't afford to do. The Kings can't afford to have to come in and be a tough guy after the whistle and cross check somebody, because you just can't afford that stuff. Like, pick and choose your moments when to do that. It isn't 5 seconds after the whistle when everybody's standing there and you cross check a guy and he falls. So that's the type of stuff that you can't get yourself into.
Trapper Nine coming in here. Will you guys be on after the game? We will not be on YouTube after the game. I think we're going to do a post-game pod tomorrow, most likely. Not sure if Russ is planning to do an after game one Twitter spaces, so keep an eye out for that, but we are not planning to go on YouTube live after the game. Joe, who is your player of the game, or who needs to really have a big game and set the stage for the Kings to come out victorious in game one?
I'm actually going to go with somebody that Russ said is his X factor kind of for the series, and that's Mikey Anderson. Like, I think this Kings D really needs to be excellent, because in the past series, we really haven't seen them have a ton of success against the top line. I know that's a lot to ask, because McDavid is McDavid, Dreisaitl's Dreisaitl. It's not easy for anybody to do that, but they really need, because I think Gavrikov and Roy has kind of settled into being what they are, especially Matt Roy is just so damn good. But we haven't seen a great Mikey Anderson consistently this season. I think he's been better since his injury. Drew Doughty has had an excellent season, but that pair needs to be great because, again, it gets thin. There's no way. I'm very interested to see how thin this blue line gets for the Kings, because – I'm nervous about Englund Spence in this series. So they need that top pair to be a top pair.
Who's the seventh suited up? Is that Marat right now still?
Yeah, but it looks, if they're going to go 12-6, he's not going to be, he won't be there. But yeah, so, and just real quick, I see Mark Spector has tweeted, Kane is going to start on the left wing with McLeod and Perry. So that'll be the third line, and the fourth line with Holloway with Carrick and Janmark. So, and that's not a fun third line to play against.
You got that third line is pretty tough.
Yeah, for sure. So, it's going to be a war. It is going to be a war.
Yeah, we need to get some good saves, good ties on the power play. I think the biggest question is going to be answered here that has been doubted all season. And was the PLD trade worth it? And they got him for this moment. They got him for the depth. I think they got him to play in this series. because they need to get over the hump there. And I know GMs will never admit, hey, we're making moves for one opponent. But it felt like they needed depth, and they've been crying for it. Whether he's played up to expectations for anybody, I would say probably that's a no. Mm-hmm. Will all that be erased, Joe, if he shows up in this series and going forward? I think so. Right? Because the playoffs.
If you're laying a hypothetical out here of, the Kings win the series and Dubois has a bundle of points, I don't want to say all will be forgiven, but boy, he's going to go a long way to getting back.
Paying off his tab. Yeah. Paying off his $8.5 million tab. So, man, the puck drop is in a little less than 20 minutes. I think we're only going to go a little bit farther here because I got to get settled on the couch, and I'm sure Joe's got to check on his fam before watching the game. So throw in any questions you guys hear in the chat. We might be able to answer a few of them. I think from an emotional standpoint, I think the Kings fans need this game. And I know that they've won game one, I think both the times, last two times, and obviously the series hadn't worked out. But I think the Kings fans, I think the Kings players need game one. I think it's huge. I think it's really huge. I think winners of game one generally win the series like 69 to 72% of the time. Now, obviously, we've been the outlier the last two seasons, but you always want to take one if you can.
hey, you need one on the road at least, and you sure as hell don't want to go down 2-0 in Edmonton. So, yeah, this would be a really good one to start with. There's no question.
Root Street Collectibles says, question, if Talbot has a bad game one, will Hiller go to Rittich in game two? Well, I don't know what Hiller's going to do, but I'll tell you what we would do. Joe, if Talbot looks bad, do you go to Rittich in game two?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, the Kings shouldn't be married to either one of these goalies. This was the whole point of kind of doing what they did, going cheap with goaltending, and it was probably one of the best things Blake did all season. I mean, it's been great. The goaltending has been something that everybody was concerned about going into the season, but it hasn't been a problem at all. And there's no shame in if Talbot struggles, you go to Rittich. And there's no shame in having to go back to Talbot if need be. Look at what Boston did. Boston won game one with Swayman. He looked great, but how did they play all season? They've rotated all season long. So what did they do? They go to Allmark today. And he played great today. They lost the game, but that sure as hell wasn't on him. He played great. So I think this is – I know they've leaned on Talbot a little bit more maybe than I would have expected. Like, it wasn't a true split 50-50 with Rittich, but I have no issues going to Rittich in game two if there's a shaky Talbot in game one. Yeah.
Trapper Nine coming in. How do you like the road unis, the white ones?
Love it. No chrome domes. Fantastic. Big fan. Yeah.
Trapper Nine, at what point does Dell come in? I think that was
we hope there joke. Isn't.
Hope and never. Yeah.
Because if he comes in, we've got a problem.
Yeah. So, it says 2-0 Vegas. No, I thought, didn't Dallas score one?
That was an offside. They got called back for an offside.
So let's end it here on this. What would be, I would say, your last key to the game, and if the Kings win, this happens?
Let's see. I would say if the bottom six for the Kings can control possession, because I don't think you can expect to do that against McDavid and Drysdale. If the bottom six for the Kings can control possession, and I think if they can stay out of the box as a whole, the Kings have an opportunity to keep this game close and win this game.
That was similar to mine. I would say Kings need to win the power play or win the special teams battle. And I would say the bottom six needs to contribute offensively at least one goal 5-on-5. And I think the team, you know, if you win, say you score two goals, you give up one on the special teams and you get a goal from your bottom six, I think the Kings have a pretty good chance of taking this one home.
And can I say too, like, I know we've talked about weathering the storm and all that stuff, and I think all that's true. And the Kings don't want to be chasing. Very true. But, man, we've talked about the Kings, and this is a big series because there could be administration changes, right? If the Kings don't win this series, you could see Blake out, everybody out, all that stuff. This is, you know, the Kings are like, it's win a series or bust. This is cup or bust for Edmonton. So, like, there's uber pressure on that team in that city. So imagine you get into game one after this long wait, you've lost, even though you've won the series against the Kings the last 2 years, you've lost, you've gotten off to bad starts. You've lost game one. Say they go down 1-0. What if the Kings put a little pressure on Edmonton? That place is going to get real quiet real quick. If LA strikes first and it's a 1-0 game, and all of a sudden you start to get into their heads a little bit. Just something that could happen as well.
I mean, you think we're critical on here sometimes. I mean, I would just bet to listen to the Edmonton media if they go down 1-0 again to a team that, like, last year, you know, it was like the first year the Kings were the underdog and we met them and we went toe-to-toe and we had that rocky moment and went 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next year the Kings get a little bit better. They get somewhat healthier. You know, and to where they're like, okay, maybe the Kings can win the series. You see a lot more people nationally picking the Kings. This year, it's the exact opposite.
Yep.
I think I saw one person take Kings in 7 in all of the national media. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people here at Hockey Realty are picking the Kings to win just because of the fact that we're fans. But I would bet that it's going to be panic mode because Edmonton's supposed to dominate the series.
Yeah.
Kings haven't looked good. Edmonton has gotten had a decent trade deadline. You know, I think it's going to be not full on panic button mode. I think it'll be some harsh talk amongst the pubs of Edmonton if they were to go down 1-0 in the series.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit easier to stomach because they've done it the last 2 years and they've won each of those series. But obviously, you're tempting fate if you continue to do that. So it would certainly put the pressure on if LA is able to strike first in this game and make Edmonton chase the game a little bit. It would turn things on its head just a little bit.
Well, hopefully all of our keys to the game come true and this is a 5-0 victory and we have nothing to sweat out. But we all know that that's not Kings hockey and that's not what we're used to. So it's probably going to be a little bit of a stomach churner and a little bit frustrating, but you know, hopefully we can get out game one, get out hot and stay hot and not fall back on our laurels and hit some of these keys to the game. So that way we can go up 1-0 in the series. Joe, pleasure doing this pregame for you. Thank you. All your fans come for all of our fans coming out here to do the pregame. We'll be trying to do this as much as possible. This series, we're trying to do as many episodes as possible before game, after game, Twitter spaces, as much as our schedules can handle. We're going to be out here for you guys because we want to give you, we're going to give you all the meat, all the juice, that's worth the squeeze. So thank you guys for coming out. And as always on this podcast, go Kings, go.